The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be God to us. Amen. Well, it's Holy Trinity Sunday. And I'm not always sure just how aware people are of the church year. As pastors, we do this every year, so we're kind of aware of all these Sundays when they come up. But last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and each year, the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday, is Holy Trinity Sunday. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it is every year. So we celebrated Pentecost last week. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. I've never liked preaching on Holy Trinity Sunday. But here I am. Most Sundays, I am one to preach on one of the biblical texts that's assigned for the day. I like to pick out one theme from one reading and develop that and work with that for most of my sermons. But it seems to me that this is a Sunday that invites a thematic sermon on the Trinity, rather than focusing on just one reading. And the readings for today, taken all together, talk about the Trinity. But the truth is, there's no place in the Bible that really spells out or explains the Trinity. It's just reading the whole Bible and taking it all together that suggests this is the way we might or maybe should understand God. So, rather than focus on just one text today, I think this Sunday of the year begs the pastor to preach on the Trinity itself, even if one is like me and would rather not. And that's one reason right there. I'm looking at you, and some of you, your eyes are already starting to glaze over. I haven't even started. But the truth is, the Trinity may be one of the most confusing, perplexing things in the Christian faith. It's so confusing and hard to understand. I find in the church, we don't talk much about it these days. So, to me, that makes it even maybe more necessary, or begs the question even more, that at least one Sunday a year, maybe we ought to step aside and talk about Trinity. So, I will try to be faithful to that call today. Now, what I hope to do today is actually make the Trinity come alive for you. And I want to talk about the Trinity today as the way we actually experience God in our daily lives. And I think if we think about Trinity in this way, Trinity actually can be kind of interesting and maybe not quite so confusing. My outline for the sermon today is nothing other than the Apostles' Creed, which we're not going to say. So it's kind of nice I'm covering it a little bit in sermon. Okay? So let's start with the first article of the creed about God the what? Father. Thank you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Boom. That's it. That's the whole first article of the creed. That's all we have to say about God the Father. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought it's a little strange? We have so little to say in our creed about God the Father. We talk a lot more about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the creed. Why does the Father get short shrift? I actually think there's a good reason. Here it is. Because God, apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is hidden to us. Think about that. God, apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is hidden to us. Have you ever seen God the Father? Of course not. The Gospel of John opens talking about or pointing out that no one has ever seen God. And think about this. If God could be seen, there'd be no atheists. If God could be seen, there would be no atheists. And if God could be seen, there would be just one religion. Not the thousands upon thousands that exist today. We would all be able to see God and simply see the way it is. But we can't. God, who is the Creator, God from whose hands unfold each new moment of life, is a God who is hidden to us. He cannot be seen or comprehended or understood. This is the God who gives us a beautiful, warm, sunny, or maybe hot, sunny, humid day today, and gives us a rainy day tomorrow. This is a God who gives us the wonderful, wonderful things in life, like the giddiness of falling in love, the taste of fine food and drink, humor and laughter and good friends. And this is the God who gives us the gray day, the tornado that rips life apart, the news from a doctor who says it's cancer and there's nothing we can do. At the end of the school year last year, you may have heard the story about a Waldorf student who had pulled off on the shoulder of the Avenue of the Saints because the minivan he was driving had a flat tire. The student's name was Zach. He was my advisee. Zach got out of the minivan, went around the back, and took the spare tire out to change the flat tire. As he was standing behind the minivan, a truck coming down the highway, for no reason that we really know, just happened to go outside the lane onto the shoulder a little bit right there. And hit Zach, pinned him between the truck and the minivan, and killed him. He was just weeks away from graduating. He left behind a fiance, and a baby who both need him. Where was God in that? I can't see it. I can't understand. What is God doing there? How can life be so horrific and heart-wrenching at times, and so beautiful at times? The fact is, we simply can't understand God, the Father, the Creator of all that happens. Is the Creator God for us or against us? Looking at the day-to-day affairs of life, we can't say. That's why our creeds say so little about God the Father. At that level, God is a mystery to us. The second article of the creed is about God the Son. Notice, the second article of the creed is the longest of all three. We say more about Jesus than we do about the Father or the Spirit. And our creeds insist on four important things about Jesus. First, the creed insists that Jesus was divine. He's of the very stuff of God. Second, our creed insists that Jesus is human. He's the very stuff of us, flesh and blood. Third, our creeds insist that Jesus died a real human death, that he was really, honestly dead and lay in the grave for 3 days. And fourth, our creeds insist that that Jesus who died was raised from the dead in a new physical human body. This article of the creed is saying that that hidden God of the universe, that hidden God from whom every moment of life and existence unfolds, that God entered deep into human flesh and lived among us as a human being. That's the very heart of the Christian faith, that the Creator of the whole universe became one of us. But I still have a question for you. Have you ever personally experienced Jesus? I mean, have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever heard Jesus talk? Do you know what he looks like? I know this much. He doesn't look like that most popular painting of Jesus that makes Jesus look like he's German or European of some sort, where he's got long, flowing, kind of golden hair and blue eyes. I don't think so. Right? Jesus is from the Middle East. No doubt he had very dark eyes, dark hair, a dark full beard, probably very dark skin. And I say this purposely to be a little offensive. Jesus probably looked a lot more like Osama bin Laden than our popular pictures of Jesus. That's the truth. But that's my point. We don't know what Jesus looked like for sure. None of us have seen him. Some people long ago may have seen him and even heard him talk. But the truth is, for you and me, Jesus is just as hidden as God the Father. There's a popular Lenten hymn we sing that seems to forget all of this. Were you there? You know that song? Now, I really hope this isn't anybody's favorite hymn. And it probably is. I'm probably going to make somebody mad now. But personally, I think that hymn is really dumb. Think about it. Think about the words. You know it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? No, I wasn't. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Nope, missed that too. Were you there when God raised him from the dead? Nope, didn't get to be part of that either. The answer to the whole song is no, no, no. I have never seen or heard Jesus himself. I wasn't present for anything that happened to him. I can't see God the Father, and I've never seen God the Son. That brings us to the last part of the creed. The third article about the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's still awake. Now, here, with the Holy Spirit, I want to do some very careful defining of terms, because I think the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood thing in our Christian faith today. First, we used to call the Holy Spirit the Holy what? Ghost, which I think did us all kinds of disservice. Yes, the Holy Ghost. I think because of that language, we came to see the Holy Spirit as a ghost. But you know, a good ghost, a friendly ghost, maybe a little like Casper. But the words for spirit in the Bible don't mean anything like ghost. And the biblical words for spirit also do not mean soul. In the English language, spirit and soul are synonymous. They are not in Greek and Hebrew. In fact, Hebrew really doesn't have a word for soul. Greek has a word for soul, but it's different. It's psyche, from which in English we get psychology. The biblical words for spirit have to do with wind, with breath, with moving air. That's what the word spirit means in the Bible. And we run into this right off in the very first creation story in Genesis that was read for us this morning. And God's spirit, or God's breath, moved over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God's spirit, God's breath, took on words and spoke, and something happened. That's what spirit means. It's breath. Sometimes I wish our Bibles would translate that word as breath instead of spirit, because I think the word spirit, as we use it in English, comes with way too much baggage to accurately translate those Hebrew and Greek words. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Spirit an awful lot at the end of the Gospel, when he's meeting with his disciples for the last time before he's crucified. Jesus says this about the Spirit. Everything he describes about the Spirit has to do with talking, has to do with speaking. And he says when he leaves, he will send the Spirit who will come, and the Spirit will teach. He says the Spirit will come and it will testify. And he says, the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. Remember, I said at the beginning that we're going to talk about how we actually experience God in life. And it's this third part of the Trinity, this third part of God, the Holy Spirit, that you and I actually experience. God gets at you, and God gets at me through the Holy Spirit. You actually experience this in your life. You have never seen God, you have never seen Jesus, but you know about them, because someone has told you about them. Told you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the holy breath, the very breath of God gets loose on real human lips and speaks into real human ears. You know about Jesus because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through mom and dad, through grandma and grandpa, through the mouths of Sunday school teachers and pastors, through the mouths of family and friends, and maybe even this morning, through the mouth of some crazy college professor. You've never seen the Holy Spirit either, but you've heard him. And he sounds like people in your life. The other tricky thing about this is you never know. You never know when the Spirit might be in the presence of someone who's talking to you. You never know when those words coming to you aren't just the words of your relative or friend or co-worker, but God has actually snuck into them to move your life. So you see, this triune God of ours is actually a very down-to-earth God. That hidden God the Father came deep in the flesh of Jesus Christ to be seen and heard and touched by a few people who happened to live then. But now, this down-to-earth God of ours, that hidden God we cannot see, comes through the words of the Holy Spirit, who gets loose on human lips and preaches to us about Jesus Christ. This is our experience of God. That's what this Trinity stuff is really all about. It is the Holy Spirit that tells us of Jesus. And it is the Spirit that carries on the ministry of Jesus. It is the Spirit that says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that says, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. It is the Spirit that in just moments will say, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The Holy Spirit tells us of the hidden God, the creator of all that is, who came in human flesh right in the middle of human history in the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit preaches Christ, makes Christ known to us, and carries on Christ's ministry in us and among us, so that we may know and trust, so that we may have faith in the God whom we cannot see. The Trinity is what God does to be your God. The Trinity is a God who insists on being God for you. Amen.
Called together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. I will end each petition with, Hear us, O God, and your invited response is, Your mercy is great. Dear Lord, we thank you for the warmth of the summer sun and the coolness of the rains. We ask for mindfulness for safety, when temperatures are hot and even unsafe. That mindfulness is not only for ourselves, but for our families, friends, and neighbors, and our pets too. Let us respect the seasons and the weather elements that you give us, Lord. Hear us, O God. Be with and bless those that are actively serving their country. Give them strength and courage. Give them safety and comfort. Provide for them and embrace them. Hear us, O God. Father, we praise you for a week of vacation Bible school where your little ones learned more about you, sang your praises, and were hungry for your message. We are thankful for those that volunteer and coordinate all of the activities to make this an experience for our children such a blessing. Hear us, O God. Jesus, you gave your life for us. We are saved by your grace. We pray for peace in this broken world. We pray for wisdom for those making decisions around the globe. We pray for all people. You know everyone's needs. Let us lift up those people that have asked for our prayers at this time, and also for those that, for reasons of their own, choose not to be listed. Please pray with me the names in the bulletin. Lord, we lift to you Michaela, Judy, Lois, Amy, Janet, Ione, Dave, Tim, Marge, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes, our missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. Offer them peace, comfort, and relief from pain and sorrow. Hear us, O God. We are thankful for the blessing of Synod Assembly Weekend, for our pastors and leaders to learn and grow and to be part of a shared ministry. We ask your blessing upon those attending, not only on behalf of Emmanuel, but all of those attending the assembly. Lord, in your mercy. Triune God, thank you for the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. While you, God, are hidden from us, we see and know the beauty of your creation. Sometimes in life broken moments, we cannot see or feel your presence, God. Through Jesus, and more so the Holy Spirit, we build our faith in your promises. Hear us, O God. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.